today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we know where you can buy a 9,500-passenger mega cruise ship. It's not quite finished yet, but bargain pricing. And the federal mask mandate on planes, trains, and buses is due to expire in a few days. What might be coming next?
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, Mark talks about the good and the bad side of buying tickets for sporting events and concerts on the secondary market. And a reminder of what's happening on your cell phone if you leave it on during airline takeoffs and landings.
Each year, I'm lucky enough to get to escort a small group of travelers to Hawaii. Our next trip to Maui and Kauai leaves in May, and today I'll share a little about our journey. Maybe you'd like to join us, or perhaps you'll just pick up a tip on something to add to your next island itinerary.
Yeah, I think I'll just join him. Why not?
Yeah, well, we'll see. It's kind of an exclusive group, so we have certain standards.
I'm afraid of that. Theater is back in San Francisco, and Clayton Whitehead has an update on the coming season.
Of course, your wife would always be welcome to come along. Happy President's Weekend. Thanks for joining us to celebrate George and Abraham's birthdays right here on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
All I want more than them, man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget TravelGuysRadio.com. That's where you can find links to all of our special stuff and more. TravelGuysRadio.com. Good to see you, Mark. It's been a couple of weeks. I know everybody's anxiously awaiting an update on that bionic hip that you had put in.
When
recently.
The funeral services are scheduled for.
Quit it.
Yes. Well, as you saw me, you were the pickup transportation today, so as you saw, getting up and down the stairs there is a little bit of a challenge, but I'm making it here a little at a time. I'm alternating days between complaining and thinking that I might actually survive.
Can I tell the folks what happened?
Sure.
Sure. Mark goes, he has a two flights of stairs he has to come down with his new bionic leg, and he does it sideways quite nicely, I might add. We get all the way out to the car, and he goes, "Oh, no, I left my glasses in my apartment." So, you know, being the trooper he is and not allowing me to go look for them, he hustled back, went back up the stairs, got his glasses, and on we went. And I have to say, a week before, that wouldn't have happened.
So yeah,
definitely some improvement going on there.
Well, to anybody who has recently had a hip replaced or is about to have it done, the good news is that it's not life-threatening surgery in most cases, but it is serious surgery. So I highly recommend that you talk to some friends or, hey, send me a note at TravelGuysRadio.com and I'll send you pictures of my grabber and my sock putter on her and some of the other great inventions that have been shared with me from some of my troops. But there are some things that become really important because if you drop something on the floor when you've had a hip replacement, same thing, I'm sure, with a knee replacement, you're not going to bend over and pick it up. So yep. Depending on how important it is, it will either stay there until the cat eats it, or, you know, it deteriorates, or somebody comes along and says, "How come this is on the floor?" So, anyways, many trials and tribulations, but yes, I am getting better. So, and thank you. I've gotten I don't know how many notes from folks online and through Facebook and through our website and things like that. I've answered as many of them as I can. So, thank you for all the good wishes. I appreciate it.
All right. How's things at Sports Leisure? I know we've got Hawaii or in the future, but even sooner than that.
I don't know. I've only been there a couple times in the last couple of weeks. I think they're getting ready to sell the company or something. They've cleared all the furniture out of my office, so I'm guessing that there might be. No, well, everything's fine.
All right. I see that, you know, this is the time of the year where you guys start thinking about spring training.
Yeah.
What's that look like?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about an aspect of that later on, but they just canceled the first week of spring training games, which would have started next Saturday. We're the third week of spring training games, so they've got a couple weeks to make up their mind here. We're just sitting here holding on to our airplane and game tickets and waiting patiently and hoping for these really rich people to make a decision on how much each one of them gets of our money over the next few years, so that we can go and watch them play ball. Maybe one of these days, you know, they might have one of these work stoppages or something, and then when they start it up again, maybe nobody would give a damn and nobody would show up and pay the inflated prices for tickets, but we'll see. Anyways, as you can tell, I'm not bitter about it.
And that's just one man's opinion.
Just one man's opinion.
All right. All right. Well, let's find out what else is going on in the travel news. Why don't we? And with the latest, along with the baseball strikey stuff, here's Mark.
Yeah, exactly. So the hedge fund that took over Carnival Cruise Lines, that eventually said, you know, after they had bled hundreds of millions of dollars, said, all right, we're done with this, and pulled the plug. They were in the process of building a brand new cruise ship called the Global Dream. It is under construction in a German shipyard. It's supposed to be, as I mentioned in the headlines, a 9,500 passenger mega cruise ship when it's done. Let's see here. It's supposed to be done in about 8 or 9 months. And I have a little picture of it here. But the Global Dream reportedly cost almost $2 billion to build to this point. It is in need of a half a billion or so to be completed. So if your cash flow is particularly good and you have a half a billion sitting around, or, you know, you're going to come into that money in the next few months and you're thinking, wow, you know, I've got 9 or 10,000 friends that I could take on a cruise ship all over the high seas of the ocean. Why, then we may have found just the present for you.
Whoa.
Yeah. You only need half a billion just to complete it, though, and I'm guessing you may need a few bucks to start up the operation. But other than that, you're probably okay.
That's amazing. I can't even imagine 9,500 people. Is that like beyond the normal size mega ship?
Yeah. I started not being real happy with cruise ships when they got up to like 2,500 and 3,000 passengers. So mm-hmm. The last one I was on was about 4,500, and after standing in a gangway for 45 minutes waiting for people to get off, mostly waiting because they were taking a promotional picture of everybody after they got off the ship, and once I went through that, I said, you know what, I have better things to do with my time and my money than this. But lots of people enjoy cruising, and I sell cruises, so it just does happen to be my particular thing. So, you know, unless the cruise ship was going to visit some ballpark somewhere or something, then you might be able to talk me into it.
Mark's a small ship kind of guy.
Small ship guy, definitely. Okay, so the mask mandate is going to end here in a little over, well, right around a month from now. And so we see all the COVID restrictions and stuff coming down. Airplanes are still really small, enclosed areas. So it will be in. What do you think is going to happen? Mr. Romano, do you think they'll drop this mandate? Will they extend it a few more weeks and say, you know, we just want to make absolutely sure? I mean, because at some point, even the passengers who have been okay with masks on board are probably going to get testy.
Yeah.
Testier, you know, than they have.
I think that the airlines, the airports mm-hmm. will be kind of the last to give up the mask mandates. I think they'll postpone it for a little bit, but I think it's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner than later. But
unless something happens that we're not aware about yet, my guess is whether it's I'm with you. They might extend it a couple weeks just to say, you know, there's still some parts of the country where the numbers haven't come down quite as much. But I if they do that, my guess is that they will say, all right, we're extending it until May 1st or, you know, April 15th or whatever, and that's the end of it. So they will announce an end date at the time that they make the extension.
You know, and keep in mind, particularly for those that just may not feel that they're quite ready to get on a plane on a long flight without a mask, you know, the mask mandate thing, meaning that masks optional, basically, you can always wear a mask on a plane. Even before there were mask mandates or any of that, I would oftentimes see people wearing masks on planes for allergy reasons. They don't want to catch the flu or cold or whatever. So, yep. You know, if that concerns you, then you can still wear your mask and protect yourself and so forth. So I do believe that as that occurs, the vaccination policy may kick in. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of this is going to depend on the flight attendants and the pilots. I think that they're going to have a disproportionate say in this particular matter because they're the front lines. And the other thing is, as we've already seen, you know, in any industry, what happens if 15 or 20% of the people call in sick on any given day? And the airlines have already seen this happen. So I don't think they would want to go through that, especially when they're trying to get back some of the money they've lost over the last couple of years. So that's why I think there might be the flight attendants might say, you know what, not quite so fast. And the airlines might say, oh, well, OK, so what do you think is reasonable? And then I think they might come up with a date and say, OK, we're going to drag this out just a little bit further. But barring anything, this is the date that it will end, rather than just leaving it open-ended, which I think wouldn't be popular at all. We're going to try to get a couple of our guys on next week to talk about that, probably Joe Brancatelli and Chris Elliott and some folks just to talk about that. And I have a couple of other things I want to run by a few of them. Carnival Cruise Lines story, this comes in. Video shows a woman scuffling with security on the ship, and she's led off away by the security people. And a few seconds later, everybody's running over to the side of the railing to see what has happened. The lady has broken away from security and jumped overboard in the middle of the ocean. I don't recommend that. It doesn't matter what you did, how bad dinner was, or, you know, what time you couldn't get for the show or whatever. I mean, I can't imagine anything that would cause you to be quite that unhappy. The Coast Guard said it searched about 2,500 square miles for 14 hours for the woman before suspending the effort. So she is gone.
Well, maybe she got what she was wanted to do.
I don't know. I can't imagine what the argument was with security, but, you know, perhaps the lady was not in a normal mental state. There's always the possibility of that.
Yeah, you think?
Heaven forbid. Here's a little article about the cruise ships have agreed to a little bit of different conditions as they move forward on trying to get the cruise ships back in the water. They've done this a couple times now. With Omicron, they had a problem again, and obviously they're hoping that this is all behind them. But if you have already signed up for a cruise and you think you know what their policies are, remember our F-word flexibility here that we've talked about ad nauseum for a while. And that really means that you've got to do your homework and you've got to be flexible. So you've got to know that whatever the rule is today, don't get too excited because the rule might be different tomorrow. And you might be visiting some places that still, listen, I was down in Key West a month ago. They're pretty open about masks in shops, but there were a few small shops there where there were clearly signs on the door that said, you know, we're a small shop, employee owned, and we need to stay safe, so please wear a mask. I mean, you know, sometimes they explained it on the door, and so there are some places to keep the mask close at hand. Here's kind of a cool story to close out the news here. I give the cruise lines a lot of grief, including earlier in this newscast, but here is a cool story. This comes from Chris Elliott's crowd. A gentleman won. He was an orchestra teacher from Caledonia, Michigan. He had won second prize in a Norwegian Cruise Lines contest called Giving Joy. The competition was launched to honor 100 of the top educators in the United States. The nominees would vie for giant cash prizes for their schools, and the cruise would award 100 dream cruises to the winners. So in August, after months of voting, Norwegian Cruise Lines announced the winners, and this gentleman in Michigan found out he had won second place in the contest. It meant that his school would get a cash grant of $15,000, And not only that, but his, him and his wife and his children would be given a cruise ship, a cruise on Norwegian Cruise Lines. Now, the terms and conditions of the contest clearly stated that the prize had to be redeemed by the person who won the prize. Not strange at all. In his thank you speech, David Sowerby, the man who won, explained that the money would buy new instruments for the school's orchestra. But unfortunately, not too long after that, things took a sad and unexpected turn. The teacher would never get to hear his students play the shiny new instruments the $15,000 would buy, nor would he get to cruise on the cruise ship. He was diagnosed, unfortunately, with cancer, and it was very quick-acting, and he passed in the fall. So now the family has this prize. The money still went to the school, but they have this prize of this winning prize of four people on a cruise ship. And so they go back to Chris Elliott's folks and say, look, you know, can you help us with this? And so they went to Norwegian Cruise Lines, and admitting that Norwegian isn't always the best at situations like this, going into it, but they went to Norwegian Cruise Lines, and sure enough, Norwegian has decided that they will make an exception in this case, and that the gentleman's wife and his three children will be taking the cruise to Alaska this summer in his honor. None of them have ever been on a cruise ship, or had none of them have ever been to Alaska, so it will be a very special trip. So congratulations to Norwegian Cruise Lines for stepping up and proving that they had a heart.
Very good, very good. Thanks for sharing that.
And your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hey there, my friends. We be the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Here to make you a smarter traveler. By the way, TravelGuysRadio.com.
Yeah. Is that what we've been doing for the last 10 years on Sunday afternoons?
Well, part of the time.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of the time, I think we just spend just, I don't know,
just
wasting
babbling.
It's
good that they let us out of the home, though, for an hour on Sundays. You know, it gives the people at the home a little bit of a rest, and, you know, they get rid of us. All right. Let's see. Make you a smarter traveler. Got a couple things here. One is, this is, real quickly, this involves your cell phone. And many of us, when we're flying, we're taking off, we're trying to get that last phone call in, or we're landing, and we can't wait to see something that, you know, see if there's an answer to something or call somebody. Oftentimes I'm trying to reach the guy, the bus driver, who's sitting somewhere at the airport waiting to greet us. And as you're coming in, of course, and the plane's getting closer to the ground, your signal is kind of coming and going and coming and going and all that stuff. So here's the deal with that.
It is.
Couple of things. It's a little bit of a safety issue. You are taking up some of the space required by the airplane and the other airplanes around it to help with their navigation. So we've already proven that risk is not a great one, but it's there nonetheless. So that's the reason they discourage you from turning it out of airplane mode until you land. Also, if you leave your phone on, you're going to use up a tremendous amount of energy, power within the battery. And particularly on those landings and takeoffs, your phone is switching to every tower that it comes in contact with, which during that landing and takeoff process can be quite a large number, switching constantly, and that causes the phone to use a lot of its power. So if you're smart enough to turn your phone off before you leave the ground, and if you really need to turn it on, here's my suggestion. Wait until you hear the landing wheels go down. That means that you're about 30, 45 seconds from the ground, and there's a pretty good chance that you might pick up a solid signal and keep it long enough to be able to accomplish whatever it is. So anyway, that's just a little tip about cell phones on planes.
But not a Travel Guy's recommendation. Our recommendation is to follow the rules of the airline.
Yes.
to leave it off until you land.
Yes.
Or until they tell you it's okay.
Yes, exactly. we'll call that a hack. Just trying to keep us out of trouble. I understand. Someone has to do it. Okay. Major League Baseball players and owners have not reached an agreement. They have now canceled the first week of spring training. This means a lot of people who overpaid for tickets to practice games, basically. I would be one of those people, not to this set of practice games, but some coming up, are holding tickets that they can't use. They bought them from the team. They probably paid face value for them, plus some kind of service charge, and the team will probably refund it. They may or may not refund the service charge if it's an outside agency. They may not have any control over that, but you'll at least get the ticket price back, and it'll come pretty close to making you whole. If you bought your tickets online from a secondary ticket seller or somebody who was just reselling tickets someplace, now you're holding the tickets. They bought them. Who knows if they bought them from somebody else or what the life history of the ticket is before that. And so now what happens? Well, what happens is that you try to get back to the person who sold you the ticket and say, hey, I want a refund. That person says, well, you know, I'm not responsible for refunds. And, the ticket was $50. Have you ever done this, Tom?
No, but I certainly know people who have. You know, you buy a ticket, and like you say, the face value says $50. You paid $150 because they were impossible to get. How is there any chance of being able to get anything more than that face value? And how hard is it just to get the $50 back?
Probably hard, unless it was a notable ticket seller that you can contact online. And the other thing is, you'll probably never see anything above the face value of the ticket. So the moral to this story is, if you're one of those people, and I've done it occasionally myself, you're going to pay up for tickets, I strongly recommend that you try to buy them from an online ticket supplier who will be there the day after the game is supposed to be played or the refund is now available to you, because they'll be honest and they'll get you what they can. If you just buy the tickets online from somebody, then you're taking a risk that you probably didn't think about when you bought these overpriced tickets in the first place. You're just happy to be going to the show or the game or whatever. But it is words to the wise. You can lose a lot of money really easily in a secondary market on tickets. Tip, buy them as close to the event or the concert as you can to minimize the risk of cancellation.
Well, there you go. Smart advice. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, which will be taking off to Maui before you know it. I think it's in May. We're going to talk a little bit about that trip and traveling to the islands. Here on the Travel Guys, this is always fun to talk about. How could it not be? It's the islands.
Ooh, in Graceland, in Graceland.
Here we are, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, known as the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Again, links to our special guests and so much more can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. I was sitting here, and Mark and I FaceTime because we're not in the studio, okay? Not that we don't want to be. They just won't have us there anymore. Because
it's just that the smell was too
Mark
bad. Yeah.
Did. Was what Mark did. And anyway, so, of course, Mark had that hip replacement, and then I see him wander off during the news, and the news is over, and it's time to go, and I'm not seeing him on this little phone, and I started to panic a little bit, and then there he was, because I know it takes him a little bit longer to get back.
It's 25 minutes to get over to my desk and back, which is about 10 feet away. So,
say, are you going to be up for Hawaii in May? What do you think?
I am. I promise. I am.
If anything will get you well enough to be to try.
That's exactly right. That's
put in
exactly
those
right.
Reps on the exercise and so forth.
We were supposed to go last November, and then COVID flared up, and so we didn't go. And so then we were going to go in April, and a couple weeks ago, one of the hotels called and said, gee, you know, we started this big construction project, and the rooms we have you blocked in are not going to be done by the time you are supposed to be here. So we can give you some other rooms which are not as good, or we can help you get relocated at another property. So that's what we ultimately decided to do on Kauai. And along the way, we lost two of the 20 people in our group, couldn't make the switch, only a couple that couldn't make it. So we have a couple seats available. So I thought, what a great opportunity for me to talk about our Hawaii trips, which I'm really proud of, how well they the cool things that we put into them. And so we give people some ideas who go to Hawaii, maybe on Maui or Kauai, some things that they don't know about. And by golly, if you're looking for just something fun to do in the second half of May, we would love to have you.
And you're sort of a been known as the Hawaii expert, so you speak.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've worked at it for a long time. We, Yeah, one of my sports leisure buddies and I went over there a few years ago and worked on getting, you know, kind of stepping our trips up a little bit.
Well, I you know, there's someone on the line that begs to differ. That he claims to be the sports leisure vacation expert on Hawaii, and not you. So if he's willing to go on the air with us and we can find out what he's got, let's
see who this person is.
Who do we have here?
and now we're hearing that this mystery caller has gotten disconnected. Okay. He says he's been disconnected a couple of times.
He has, huh?
Okay, well, I have an idea. I have an idea. Let's take a break here. Let's take a timeout. Let's take a break and see if we can get our mystery caller back on the line. Okay?
Wait. Hello?
Mark? Tom? Is that
there
you guys?
They, we have a connection.
There we go. I'm sorry. I heard you talking about Hawaii, and I thought it might be nice if somebody called in who knew what they were talking about. So, you got a minute?
Oh, he must be talking to you, I'm guessing.
Well, no, I think he's talking to you.
Well, I know about Hawaii.
I'm definitely talking to you, Mark. I mean, come on now. You and I went 10 years ago and started putting these trips together, and after that, you know, it's pretty much been my show. We just let you talk about it.
This sounds like Christopher Galloway from Sports Leisure Vacations, who has interrupted into our conversation. Okay, so we're just starting to talk here about Kauai and Maui. You are right. This is a trip that we kind of put together a few years ago, and we came up on Maui. We came up with like the Slacky guitar concert. I mean, whoever knew that there was music on Hawaii that was very Hawaiian, that you could go and see a beautiful sunset, and that the folks who put on the music were very personable, and it was really a great experience. Things like that.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew exactly?
You know what the biggest problem with that one is? Mm-hmm. Is you have a wonderful meal and watch the sun go down, and then you listen to relaxing music with a tropical breeze, and keeping your eyes open can be difficult, but hey, it's a beautiful way to end an evening, that's for sure.
Oh, thanks a lot. Well, and while you're on Maui, of course, you can go up to the Haleakala, you can go around to Hana. We like to take people to the Hale Mali General Store, which isn't really...
That is such a good meal.
A general store at all. So what's your favorite, I'll put you on the spot here, what's your favorite sports leisure meal stop on Maui?
Well, you just landed on that one. Absolutely love that place. They do this dessert there that is so cool. It is a chocolate teacup filled with mousse, chocolate mousse. So you eat the entire thing all the way down to the handle. Love that place. I would have to say, though, my favorite experience on Maui would be O'o Farms. And that's the farm-to-fork experience.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You go up in the morning and, you know, you get up there, it's a little cool, it's gray, it's kind of foggy, it's misty. And they take you around the farm and they kind of show you what they're doing. There's someone there with a basket and they're kind of clipping things as you go. And then the person with the basket disappears. You finish your tour, the clouds part, you see the ocean, and then they literally bring the food that you just saw picked, and that's your lunch. It is fantastic.
Wow, that's pretty cool. This explains why I have never been to this particular attraction and why you know it so well, is because you've never let me go. So,
I was just about to say that.
Lahaina, of course, is on Maui. Some great dining and just shopping opportunities there. We're going to hop over to Kauai. Oh, on Maui, we're going to stay at the Royal Lahaina for 4 nights, which is one of the old traditional Hawaiian accommodations on the coast there, with some upgraded front of the hotel room so that you can see the ocean. And then we're going to hop over to Kauai, which really is my favorite island. Christopher, I don't know which island is your favorite, but Maui is mine. I mean, Kauai is mine.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. That is the island where I feel the most aloha spirit. You know, there are certain areas of it, certain things that are commercialized, but by and large, that's where people live and work. And when we take that food tour and we make those different little stops along the way and meet the people that are running these small shops that are producing these specialty items, which you can buy all through the islands, not just on Kauai. So this little island has a big footprint throughout the islands.
Tom, we Chris had this idea when we were remaking our Hawaii tours about 10 years ago at Sports Leisure Vacations to create some foodie aspects to things. So on Kauai, there's a coffee maker and a cookie maker and a place that makes Liliakoi.
Monkey pod jams.
Yeah, and the pie making gal with a Liliakoi. Products and stuff like that. So we can stop. And the great thing is, because it's not real crowded and we have a small group, you get an opportunity to try some of these things and actually talk to some of the people who make them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind
of, there you go.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. And then we head up on the north coast of Kauai. Some people don't know that is the home of the mythical dragon Puff. Puff the Magic Dragon lives up in Hanalei Bay. If you remember the words to the song, and there's a great place to eat up on the North Shore up there that Chris, I know you love, up by Kahului there.
Yes. Actually, what's funny is I was going to mention that particular drive. They call that the Coconut Coast, and that's where a lot of the Jurassic Park movies were filmed. So that beautiful, lush valley and, you know, the scenery shakes my breath away every time. That is truly one of my favorite drives.
One of our favorite stops on Kauai is always at Lydgate Farms to do the chocolate tour and try all the different tropical fruits and do all the chocolate tasting and stuff like that. Plus, our buddy Will there, who's basically started the place. I guess we were talking on the phone the other day, Chris, and it's been probably about 15 years since our first group went there and making a reservation for our group in May. That's one of the real... There's a whole lot of these in the islands, and I really encourage people when you go over there to seek out these places, the little places that are run by local people. Sometimes the pricing may seem, you may say, well, gee, that seems a little bit expensive. But then when you get there, they just go nuts at trying to overwhelm you with freebies and knowledge and all kinds of Hawaiian vanilla farms on the Big Island is one of those places. Chocolate at Lydgate Farms there on Kauai is another place like that. What's the name of the ranch that we go to for the Sunday brunch on Kauai that I'm forgetting now?
Gaylord's?
Yeah, Gaylord's.
Is that what it's called? Gaylord's.
Yeah, just down the street from where the remnants of the Coco Palms Hotel still stand after, 30 years after the hurricane destroyed it. If I forgot anything, Chris, I'll grant you that you know as much about Hawaii almost as I do.
Actually, you've pretty much named all my favorites, and I think it's funny because every time either one of us named something, we went, ooh, oh, yeah, that's you. But you know what? People could really save a lot of time if they just went with us, and don't you have a couple seats left?
I do. And so this is a little bit self-promotional here in that in addition to sharing with you some of our favorites on a couple of the islands, if you want to go, we're going on the 16th of May. It's a 9-day trip. 4 nights on Maui and 4 nights on Kauai. The double occupancy price is a little over $4,000. If you're going single, it's a little more expensive than that. We take 20 people in our group, and we have 18 right now. So we can take a couple more. If you have an interest in going to Hawaii with one of the travel guys, you can shoot us an email at travelguysradio.com, or you can give me a call at the Sports Leisure office on Tuesday, and we'll be more than happy to send you a copy of the itinerary. Really and truly, Tom, I know you've been to the islands a lot. You're a frequent island visitor.
Oh yeah. I have something I got to say though. I mean, okay. if I go on the, or not just me, but if somebody wants to sign up for this trip, you know, after listening to you and Chris, will there be opportunities for them to get away from either one of you guys for a while and do something on their own? Or will they have
to be with you guys the
whole time? That's what I want to know.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, no, this is what I put up with on
that
the radio.
We don't love you, you know. It's just that it's a very romantic place. Be nice.
Welcome to my world once a week, 52 times a year. It's good that you bring that up, Tom. One of the things that we try to do is to give folks some free time so that they can wander around on their own. On Maui, the trip over to Hana is a long trip. It's a curvy road. It's not everybody's thing. The trip to Haleakala leaves before dawn, so you can be up there for the sunrise. If you are doing one of those things, then we allow optional time for you to be able to build those into your itinerary yourself. Maybe go off on your own little side shopping trip or just lay on the beach one day. So, yes, there is. We try to provide a balance of really cool things you wouldn't find on your own. And some free time just to kick back and maybe do that thing that we didn't include in the itinerary because it's very common, but it's something that you really want to go back to.
I knew that. I just had to give you guys a hard time. Yeah, the opportunity on all sports leisure vacations trips to have some time to yourself is available. You know what? I love Kauai. Maui, I find a little bit on the, depending on where you are, a little bit on the commercial side, and that's the main reason I stay away from Honolulu altogether. It's a good place to pass through. But my favorite island is the Big Island. I had family that lived there for a number of years on the Kona Coast, and where the best weather on the world in the world is, and really enjoy the, you know, the non-commercial aspect. At least it was when I visited last.
No,
everything
you're right.
On the islands changes.
You're right, Tom. After Honolulu, Maui is the most metropolitan area in the islands, and so naturally it has that sort of that feel to it. It feels a little more commercial. I agree with you than the Big Island or Kauai, and I think that's why it's really important if you're going to go there and spend a lot of money to go to the islands, and you really want to experience the islands, then go see and do some things that are really the islands. And the other thing to keep in mind when you go over there is that a lot of people live there, and you might not be one of them, and you're going to their home. So maybe just a little bit of respect to the land and the people and all of that kind of stuff. I really think that is a really important aspect of any visit to Hawaii.
I absolutely agree. But, Tom, back to what you just said, every single island has its own feel. And I was thinking about this earlier as I listened to you guys talk about it. But you're absolutely right. The Big Island has a totally different feel from Maui, from Kauai. That's why I think it's kind of fun the way that we switch things up. Because if you've been to one island, then you need to experience another just to kind of get the full idea of what Hawaii is as a whole.
Very true. I agree 100%.
Because each one of those islands has a different, it's almost like a different state. Mm-hmm. In that, you know, if you go to Nevada, sure, they're right next door to California, but people in Nevada are different from people in California in lots of ways. And people in Hawaii on the different islands have different cultures and different things and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool. Chris, thanks for calling in and interrupting a little bit here. I appreciate you sharing some of your feelings about Hawaii. It's going to be a great trip, and we have room for a couple more folks if you want to go with us in May. TravelGuysRadio.com. You can leave a note.
I think this is that my favorite new little bumper.
Yeah, I think me too.
Welcome, everyone. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget, links to our stuff can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. And the only way you'll find out what that stuff is TravelGuysRadio.com.
If you go
welcome back, Mark, and welcome, Clayton. Tell me, let me know you're there. Say hello.
Hello, Tom. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can. I think I can also hear you through Mark's phone, but other than that, we're good to go.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Mark, as folks may or may not know, Clayton Whitehead is one of the principals with Sports Leisure Vacations, takes people to a lot of fun stuff to do. He's a tour guide, and one of his specialties is theater in San Francisco.
I am the theater geek. Thank you very much. So I took a group this past weekend to see Dear San Francisco, a high-flying love story. And this is the new show in Club Fugazi in the North Beach area of San Francisco. I know we've talked about this before, but I just wanted to let everybody know that the show has extended through summer. So we'll be taking some more groups a little later down the road, I'm sure. But this is just a feel-good, fun show with a talented and a very pretty cast, and everybody needs to go see it.
The replacement for Beach Blanket Babylon.
This is the new show in that space. Yes.
And you think it's right up there with Beach Blanket Babylon.
I just saw it for the third time, so I'm pretty keen on the show, and We'll be looking forward to a fourth.
You saw another show last week that is on many people's list, the latest Harry Potter.
Thing. Absolutely. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which is in a long-term run at the Curran Theater. That's the theater just off Union Square, one of the three theaters that constitute San Francisco's Broadway scene. And it's an interesting show. First of all, it's a play, not a musical. It is a long show, so go to the bathroom before it starts. The first act's 2 hours long. There's an intermission and then about another hour and a half. Long show. Definitely it's designed for Harry Potter fans, though I think anybody would enjoy it just because of the production quality. Magic tricks, pyrotechnics. You know, in the movie, they can fool us, right? They can green screen us. All kinds of magic can happen in a movie.
But you can't do that in the theater.
It's all real.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing production. And for people who aren't that familiar with the Harry Potter series, the first seven books or movies, don't remember because it's been a while, then just get to your seat a little bit early, open up that playbill. It was an expanded playbill, much larger than most Broadway shows would have, and it gave lots of backstory, lots of stuff to kind of bring you up through the Harry Potter saga up to this, which is the eighth book. Not a movie, never going to be a movie, they say, only a stage show.
Does Sports Leisure still have any trips to see it again?
We have a trip coming up in just a few days, and there are just a few seats available. If anyone's interested, I would suggest they call the office first thing Tuesday morning, because we're closed for President's Day on Monday, Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., and let us help with that.
We have about 3 minutes left here. I wanted to give you some time to talk about San Francisco has announced their Broadway series for the year and give you a chance to run that down.
San Francisco rolled out their 2022 program this is right. It ends in December. So it's just the 2022 season. They rolled it out a number of weeks ago, maybe even months, but we've been waiting for our space allocation because, you know, they, like us, have been in the business of taking people's money and then giving it back and taking it and giving it back and taking it and giving it back. And now they're trying to be a little more sure before they take it. We just late last week got our space allocations for all six shows that are part of Broadway San Francisco's 2022 season. We'll be rolling those out in the next newsletter. Please don't call. It's going to take us a while to get them all priced and ready for reservations. But our first show of the season in June and July of later this year is Hadestown, which was the 2019 Tony Award winner for Best Musical. Next is The Prom, just a funny, kind of farcical, feel-good musical. That's also in June and July. You know, they have three theaters. Mm-hmm. So even if The Cursed Child stays at the Curran, they've got the Orpheum and the Golden Gate, so these shows can run concurrently. The next show is going to be a mid-August to mid-September run. It's going to be the newest Broadway revival of Oklahoma, Rodgers and Hammerstein's most exuberant, wonderful, popular, everybody loves it musical. And this was the 2019 winner of the Best Revival Tony Award. And then we've got To Kill a Mockingbird, a play, not a musical.
Oh, cool.
And Atticus Finch, of course, the person who plays that role, this whole production is going to hang on them, and it's going to be a really awesome Atticus Finch. It's going to be John Boy, Richard Thomas.
Oh, wow.
And that's a September-October run. And then the show that everybody's really waiting for, Moulin Rouge, September through November run, so extra long. I'm sure we'll have multiple buses. That was the 2021 winner of the Best Musical Tony. And then they're going to end the season with a November-December run of Ain't Too Proud, which is a stage kind of behind the scenes, get to know your favorite band, The Temptations, the story behind the songs and the story behind the singers.
Wow. Pretty good season for San Francisco. So if you are a theater goer, those tickets are on sale now. And if you're looking for a way to get to San Francisco, you don't want to fight the traffic and get your own tickets and stuff, Sports Leisure Vacations has opportunities to see all of those shows, some of them not yet posted online, but will be within the next month or so.
Sure. Please call on Tuesday if you're interested in that Harry Potter show. Otherwise, we'll be rolling out these other shows a little bit later.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Whitehead. I appreciate that. Next time you get to a show in San Francisco, come see us, and we'll make time for you.
Right on. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thomas, awesome. We're about at the end of the journey here.
We are, yeah. Thank you, Clayton. Yeah, no better way to get to the city and see the shows than with a Sports Leisure Vacation group. Leave the driving to them. That's about it. What do we got next week? More stuff to make you a smarter traveler. here on the Travel Guys. Thanks for coming along. Mark, I'll let you have the nearly final word.
You all dance like nobody's watching.
All right, my friends, you stay well. Thanks for being with us. TravelGuysRadio.com. See you next time.